the lawn and in with the food. That's the model Dunedin gardener Sue Neville has used to convert her suburban home's lawns and shrubs to fruit trees and garden beds. She's also advocating we eat more flowers and weeds, choosing the edibles of the former and letting the latter grow so long as they don't obstruct other plants. Sue will be giving multiple talks as part of the Wild Dunedin Festival of Nature that's on this month. Good morning, Sue.
Hello, Catherine.
So tell me about your garden and what you've done there.
So over the last 35 years, we slowly changed a rather formal garden into a food garden for birds, insects and ourselves.
How big is it?
It's just a little bit over a quarter acre.
It's a good size these days. Did you have any lawn at all?
It was just full of lawns. It was lots of areas of lawns that my husband had to mow dutifully for many years. And it was planted with conifers around them and a whole lot of rhododendrons and such plants that were a bit getting tatty. And so we cut those down and we planted first a lot more native trees and bushes and herbs and such. And then we started, we actually increased the bed area. There were no beds at first. We planted more and more. And as our boys grew a bit older, we did away with less, with more areas and just increased the size. And we've planted fruit trees and more native trees and yeah, it's a little paradise.
What was the motivating force? I mean, it's always lovely to have produce available that you grow yourself. Was that the initial driver, or was there more to it than that, Sue?
It just seemed such a waste to have all this grass sitting there and there's lawns to cut, you know. And we just wanted to increase the biodiversity as well for the birds and bees and insects and just give us a lot more food at our fingertips.
This idea also of scrap the lawn, let it grow long, let the weeds grow if necessary, and just let the wild grasses go, let it become a meadow. Is that part of your philosophy?
We did that in one part. We had lots of lovely wildflowers there. And then you can do that, and in lots of areas we just have it wild like that. We plant into it. It sells seeds. Some plants die out. Some plants just come by themselves through the birds, etc. And then we just let it grow, and it kind of takes on a life of its own.
Okay, explain to me the photo I'm looking at of some luscious, juicy, fecund grapes in Dunedin. Look, I had a plum tree not far from where you live when I was a kid, and it produced one plum in its entire life. What's your success with growing the grapes?
We have brick walls. So,
do they warm things up?
They face north,
yeah,
and they warm things up, yes. And you choose the varieties.
How did you do all this? Did you begin with a plan? So replacing inedibles with edibles, planting fruit trees where there were once conifers. Did you do a deliberate plan, or has it been a bit more, pardon the pun, organic?
Well, at first it was just, we just worked away at it and we didn't have much of a plan. But then we actually did think of how do we build in a sort of an edible garden that does not give us gluts, but that we have harvests all year round. And harvests for the birds as well, so that there's always fruiting plants and there's always fruit coming on for us. And so we actually had to look at what grows well here. We got advice from Jason Ross, who's a very experienced permaculture person here. And we looked around what grows well in other gardens. We made mistakes. We also had a plum tree that just did not produce fruit. And I was just about going to say, let's cut it down. And then I realised, well, there's obviously no other plum trees flowering at the same time. We put in another plum tree and now it fruits. So you learn by experience, mistakes, and also by talking to others and going to groups and sharing information and
What's some of the foods there, either flowers or weeds? I never quite know what the definition of a weed is, to be honest. What are some of the more unusual ones there that are edible? Because obviously it's something you want to get right before you do it for the first time. You want to know you're eating something that's safe or a part of a plant that's safe. But what's some of the more unusual things that you'll eat from your garden?
So the weeds are, you know, there's dandelion leaves, there's miner's lettuce, it's brilliant in winter. And there's chickweed in summer and all year round, really.
What do you use the chickweed for? Do you put it in a salad? I used to feed it to the budgie. What do you use it for? Well, does it go in a salad or what?
Yeah, I just go through with a knife, chop off the juicy leaves up the top, and you sprinkle them in salads, and they're great. The stems are not so. They're a wee bit tough. But, you just choose. And then there's plantain as well. And the flowers, there's nasturtium leaves and there's cornflower flowers, viola, calendula, dandelion, rosemary, sage, petals. You can just put in salads. And then the easily self-seeding greens that you can plant or sow, lettuces, mizuna. And then there's silver beetroot and Russian kale that really easily self-seeds. You let the best one to go to seed. You can just sprinkle the seeds around, let them, or you can collect them and then use them the next year, and they come up again and again.
I can't see any photos of any raised beds. Are these all growing in the ground?
Yeah, there's no raised beds. I find that growing in ground keeps it. We have sandy soil, so growing in ground is much better for that. I can add compost. I can change the bed layout at my whim. I can let it spill over. I can the roots of the plants grow into the under the path as well, and they can collect water there, so it feeds the beds, the plants in the beds, and it's much easier, less money layout. It can be very expensive to build raised garden beds, but that is a good option if you have soil that is contaminated.
Understood. What would you say is the thing you've learned the most from doing this over the decades? I'm going to throw a couple out. I just listening to you, the positioning vis-a-vis the sun, and you've also got sort of natural shelter belts and the brick shelter belts. Is it what goes where a key part of a successful garden of this kind?
It is, definitely. So you have to check what your soil is doing. You know, you sometimes have wet areas and then you have a sandy area, and you soon find out where the plants are happy, but you can test it too with your hands or by putting soil in a bucket or digging a hole and seeing how long it takes for the water to seep through. And it's you adapt your plants to the spaces, but also the plants adapt themselves. They die out where we're not happy.
Wonderful, Sue. Thank you. Sue Neville will be speaking at the Wild Dunedin New Zealand Festival of Nature. It runs for 10 days over the school holidays. It started on April 19th. More than 140 events with a focus on weather, climate change, gardening, planting trees, making compost to store carbon, and learning what lives in the soil under our feet.